Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Big Ticket, Variety and iHeart's movie podcast. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. This week, I sit down with Constance Wu. We talk starring opposite Jennifer Lopez in Hustlers and what happened when she tried to give Cardi B a lap dance. And then later, two more stars of Hustlers, Lily Reinhart and Kiki Palmer. I'm going to have all that and a lot more, so stick around for this week's Big Ticket. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Now, Constance Wu. Hi, Constance.
Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You look great for first thing in the morning.
Oh, thanks. It's all downhill from here.
Fantastic movie.
Thanks.
Like, I cried. I laughed. I mean, it was just, the emotions are there.
Oh, I'm so glad.
So, Tim, what did you know about this story when you were first approached about it?
I actually didn't know anything about it. I read the script and I really responded to the character, and it was what I was really looking for at the time. And then I read the article, and I was like, wow, what an interesting story, and like what a perfect, I mean, not even metaphor because it really happened, but for what was happening with our country and the financial collapse and like also the way that like media and culture told people like what their value was in terms of gender. I just thought it was like kind of exactly what I wanted to do at that time.
And it's not, I think some people may think like, oh, it's gonna be a fun stripper movie. Oh,
it's fun. Look,
they rob people and boom. But I see it as this, you know, this really strong drama with themes about gender.
Yeah.
Also chosen families.
Yeah.
I really, really got that throughout the movie. Yeah. Talk to me about that a little bit.
Well, I mean, I think the heart of the movie is the girls and the sisterhood of the girls and the friendship between Ramona and my character, Destiny. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, this is a stripper movie. And I'm like, no, it's not.
No.
It's a movie about people who have been strippers before.
Right.
And I make that distinction because it's about more than just their occupation. Like, so often we stop our judgment there and then make so many assumptions. But all these women are different. And when you look at Destiny's story and the fact that she was abandoned by her own mother when she was a kid, she's sort of been looking for a female mentor and like friend like that her whole life. And she finds that in Jennifer's character, Ramona, and a lot of these girls, they're kind of outcast from their families. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of create their own family.
That's survival too.
Yeah, and they're also, there's a freedom when you know the rest of the world judges you, and then you find people who don't judge you, but they understand you. That's a type of family, and that's sort of what these girls create.
Tell me, what do you like about Destiny?
I like that she makes decisions from her heart, which isn't always the smartest place. Because yes, she gets involved with these schemes and this like thing that is objectively bad. It's illegal. Like drugging people's not good.
No, not
right?
Good. No.
Stealing
and drugging.
We agree with that. It's not good. But I think what's unique about her is she's not really doing it for the money necessarily, even though she does need it to support her kid and everything. I think she just gets caught up in the feeling of being a part of something.
Mm-hmm.
And having this sisterhood. And you see that when, towards the end, she starts to sort of realize like, oh, I was just thinking about how wonderful I felt being a part of this family, but oh, I just realized that what I'm doing is affecting other families,
right,
when she talks to the guy, Doug. And so it kind of is tough for Destiny that it took her a while to catch up to her mistakes,
mm-hmm,
but I like that she does catch up to them. And that she makes tough decisions because of them. And so, even though she gets involved, it's in trouble. It's all out of her desire for love and for other people's love.
I get a Scorsese vibe from the movie.
Like there is Goodfellas?
Like Goodfellas.
Yeah.
You know, then, you know, even, you know, Francis Ford Coppola, The Godfather. Like,
yeah.
Ramona is the Godfather.
Totally. When I first read it, I was like, this is a lot like Goodfellas, because those guys are doing things that are objectively bad, but for some reason you kind of like them.
It's the family.
Because they and they have all these characters, but I will say there's one big difference, which is, I think one of the first lines of Goodfellas is, all my life I wanted to be a gangster. And then the last line of Goodfellas is essentially like, I'm not a gangster anymore and life is boring. So in that sense, I think that movie glamorizes the gang life. Right. And while I think Hustlers has moments of glamour, like the Usher scene and everything, what Loreen did was a little more complex than that. I don't think she glamorized the life. I think she showed some of the really fun parts and some of the really, like, difficult parts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't end with, oh, I'm not a stripper anymore and my life is so boring, the way Goodfellas ends. It ends with, well, I don't want to give any spoilers. Right. But
okay, so we have to talk. We've talked about this before. But, you had a stripper pole in your house.
Yes.
Prepping, like, did you wake up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, and say, hey, I think I'll rehearse on the pole?
Yeah, no, I just slept next to it. I didn't do any actual work. I was like osmosis. I'm by the pole. well, I mean, because the biggest thing about that is, yes, it's physically demanding, but you also have to sell it.
Yeah.
And that's really hard when mentally.
I can swing around a pole, but I can't sell it.
Right? And so it's the comfort level. And it's also doing it when you're in these like 9-inch shoes. So it's like, I was also walking around my house in those shoes just to be like, let me just like see if I could get used to this.
Did you ever?
Not the 9-inch. There were like 7-inch ones that I, you know what? That's I managed great. To be pretty good in. And yeah, a new skill set that I learned that I never thought I would.
It's on your resume now.
Yes.
Microsoft Word, fluent in Spanish, 7-inch
heels. Seven or less. No, I can't go above. That's my, like my singer's range. It's like she could belt to an E flat. Like that's where she goes.
What was it like seeing Jennifer Lopez work that pole?
Oh my God.
Literally, your mouth is on the floor.
I didn't want her to stop. Like, whenever the song ended, and you know, she had to do it a few times, obviously, for different takes. Like, I just didn't want it to stop because she just owns the stage. And like, and I also, like, as a person, I just love her. And just to see somebody who you care about so much, who's just doing what they do best, and just like, it's like you're witnessing a once in a lifetime live thing, except for I got to see it a few times because of the.
But
the
then
tapes.
I love when she's teaching you how to do it. There's, I don't know if it's technically classical music, but it was like classical music that was playing, which I just love that sequence where it was like, she was really showing you this art.
Yeah.
That you really had to be an artist to do this. This wasn't just jumping on a stage and jiggling.
And again, that whole thing about not glamorizing it. Yes, we have scenes where we're in the fancy stripper outfits, but in that scene where Jen's teaching me, we're both in sports bras and like no makeup with like ponytails. Because it's like these, Loreen always said, like these women are kind of like athletes. And if you think of it a certain way, they're both using their bodies to make money, athletes and strippers.
For sure.
And for entertainment and to make money, both of those professions. It's just we decide to judge and shame one of them more than the other.
And Cardi B, you went on top of Cardi B and tried to get her.
Oh, man. So in that scene, Destiny's supposed to be, like, embarrassed that she can't do it that well. I think the line with Destiny and Constance was, like, right in sync there because I was embarrassed because I knew. I was like, this girl knows what she's doing. And I've, you know, been learning. But I'm definitely still a freshman.
So let's talk a little bit about your TV career. How many more seasons of Fresh Off the Boat?
Well, they have me for 7. I'm in season 6 right now, and I love it. I know people misunderstood my tweet thing where they thought that it meant that I didn't love the show. I love the show. I love the people on the show. We've had the same crew for 6 years. We wouldn't have had that. Like, people could go find other shows if we all didn't love each other. But, you know, it does take up a significant amount of my year, and so there was just this play that I was really looking forward to doing.
A play?
Yeah, I grew up in the theater, so that's home for me, you know what I mean? And a lot of people had told me, oh, yeah, it's not going to get picked up.
Well, I wanted to bring this up with you because I did a podcast with Randall Park, and he said it to me, too. He said, we were all surprised it got picked up.
Yeah, like, me and Randall had talked about it. He's just not as, like, reactive to but, no, but, like, this play I wanted to do, my heart was so in it. Wow. And so for just, like, a moment of heat, which we all have, like, I got upset that I couldn't do the play. But I mean, if you look at any of my tweets for the past 6 years about Fresh Off the Boat, I love it and I love those kids and I love the crew and it's it's just a really peaceful, happy job that I'm really lucky to have.
And then one question that I always ask everyone, what's the one movie you could watch over and over again and you never get bored?
Well, my number one, it's always been Boogie Nights.
Really?
Well, yes.
Really, Star of Hustlers.
I know. No, but there's another one that's new that I'm adding to the list, which is Paddington 2. I haven't seen Paddington 1.
First of all, tell me why Boogie Nights.
Okay, Boogie Nights is just is amazing. I mean, just the energy of it, that wonder at the beginning, the way they're humanizing people who are often judged,
right,
you know, in society. And the music, everything about that movie is great. The era, the 70s to the 80s. Mm-hmm. I'm like, our movie's about an era change too.
Oh, yeah.
But Paddington 2 is just, it's so pure. And like, the joy in it is so, sometimes I think these movies can try to really lean into that cutesiness, mm-hmm, and they almost like exploit sentimentality, and it works. But it's like, there's something about Paddington 2 where the cuteness doesn't come from like a self-awareness or a manipulative sense. It really just comes from the heart of this bear.
How many times have you seen?
Oh, you know, it's on loop. I keep it on my TV so my bunny can watch it when I'm not home. Just kidding. Just kidding.
No, you practice the pole watching. Which is really good.
Talk about the full spectrum of like the
Boogie Nights
human experience and the bear experience. Yeah.
What is the one movie that you would love to have been in besides Paddington 2?
Oh, gosh. I don't know why that's like hard. You know what I really love? I love like the old, that old Richard Linklater movie, Before Sunrise.
Why is that?
Because it's, I mean, some people think this is boring, but it's two people talking. And like,
there's nothing, that's what we're doing, I'm not bored.
I know, but like, and discovering things about each other, and it doesn't feel forced, it just feels like a true portrayal of that time in your life, and it's, I don't know, there's something about the way that was captured that, I just think it's important that we have stories like that, almost as like to be historians of like what humans are capable of connection-wise.
Which is just what Hustlers is about too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It doesn't look like it from this glossy thing. But it's about these girls, and I really hope that people watch it. And what I hope most, besides them having a good time, is that people care about these girls as people.
Because
they're great girls.
And that's where it gets a little twisted, because there's times where I'm like, I'm rooting for you. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be rooting for you in this part.
But you know, everybody makes mistakes and does things that they're not proud of, at least sometimes
redemption
in their life. But they're also people.
Awesome. Constance, thank you so much.
Thank
it's always
you.
So much fun. That was Constance Wu. Now we're going to take a quick break, but when I come back, Kiki Palmer and Lily Reinhart. Welcome back. Here's Lily Reinhart. Good morning, Lily.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You're so fresh as a daisy on a Sunday morning.
Thank you. Yeah, I got like 10 hours of sleep.
That's good.
That's like my minimum. That's what I need.
Are you like, do you sleep throughout? Or
no,
do you wake up?
I wake up a couple times, but sleep pretty well.
And our dogs bark a lot. They bark too much.
Oh, but you have dogs, so.
That is true. That is true. So it's not about me, it's about Hustlers. Such a great movie.
Thank you.
Like drama, emotional, funny, sexy. I keep saying this, and I'm just gonna say it. I get Scorsese vibes.
Like,
there's like a Goodfellas, like.
Yeah, that was definitely inspiring.
Ramona is the godfather.
Yeah. Yeah, Laureen, when I first talked to her about the movie, she told me that was Goodfellas was a really big inspiration for it. Yeah, and I was like, that makes sense.
So did you know anything about this story at all before you were approached?
I actually didn't. So when I read the article, I was reading it with fresh eyes. And when I read the script, it was, you know, the first time hearing of this story. So I definitely hadn't known about it before, which made it all the more interesting.
So how do you even start prepping, you know, you're going from Riverdale to Stripper.
Yeah, I mean, there was overlap between Riverdale and Hustlers.
In terms of the characters?
No, in terms of shooting. I was still shooting Riverdale when I started Hustlers, so I had to fly back and forth from New York to Vancouver.
That's a mind.
But not really, because they're so vastly different
right.
that it didn't really feel like it's quite easy to transition between the two. Mm-hmm. I feel like if the characters were more similar, it would be harder.
That makes sense, yeah.
But because they're so different and the environments are so different and the looks were so different, it was actually quite easy to differentiate between the two.
So do you meet with real strippers, or do you just really study the story, or do you sit down with the writer?
I mean, I think Laureen was my biggest source of help. Mm-hmm. I talked to her quite a bit about the character and what she wanted. And I was kind of nervous at first because I hadn't done a movie part for a while. So I after each day on set, the first few days, I was like, was that okay? Was that what you wanted? Like, is that in the vein of what you're thinking for this girl? And she was like, yes, absolutely. Just trust your instincts. Like, you're doing exactly what I want you to do. So she was very comforting. And I think prep-wise, I mean, I don't really do too much to prep. Things just mostly happen in the moment when I'm on set. So, I mean, I obviously think about the character and who I want her to be,
right.
But I, you know, kind of go off what the director wants from me.
And the thing is that I keep telling people, I'm like, it's not a stripper movie. Like, I think people are gonna think that it's just, oh, there's the Riverdale star stripping and showing everything.
There,
like,
she is.
But it's not, it's so much more than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it is.
It's really what I say, it's a story of survival and chosen family.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, you know, you're going to judge a book by its cover and be like, okay, this movie's about strippers. And even when I got the script sent to me and looked at the log line, I was like, oh God, what is this? Do I want to be involved in this? And then reading the script, it's so much more. And it's such an actual story. And I actually don't think that it's a movie about strippers, about stripping. It's a movie about women and what leads them to do what they do. So, you know, it's not even about stripping as a performing art.
Right.
It's more so just about the women. So, and that's wonderful.
What do you think the movie says about survival?
I mean, I think that especially in Ramona and Destiny's case, you do what you need to do for your kids. And in Annabelle's case, I think she got swept along into the scheme that they're in because she's quite young and naive, and I think easily persuaded because her family kicked her out of her house when they found out what she was doing. So I think she really relied on these older women to show her the ropes, and, you know, she was very easily kind of brought into it. But I think when it comes to survival, I think, I don't know, you have to do what you have to do, I guess. But I'm not justifying what they did in any sense. At all, but I think they were blinded by what they were doing because of their need to live and their need to support themselves. So,
do you like these women?
I do, because you do root for them.
Yeah.
You really do.
It's this weird thing because you're rooting for them. There were parts where I was rooting for them, like
yeah.
when the guy jumped off the house.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh my God, I hope that works out for them. And I'm like,
yeah.
What am I talking about?
Well, yeah, it's crazy because they are doing these awful situations, but the way that the story is told, you do, like, you feel for them. So you don't really look at them as the bad guys, even though they are. You see them as women who are just trying to get by and doing what they feel that they need to in order to, like you said, survive. So yeah, they are the bad guys, but you're seeing them through the lens of reality and through women just trying to survive at that time.
And talk about the first time you met Jennifer Lopez.
I met her, the first time I shot with her was the last scene in the movie where you see us all together in the jail cell. So,
so
I think that's where I
Jennifer
met her. I was
Lopez.
In jail with her, and I'm like sitting in the corner and she's in the scene kind of, there was a moment where she came and was like touching my hand. She was like, it's gonna be okay. Like, she was very, she was very like into the scene before it even started, which was really sweet. And she was just very warm and like a mama bear. That's what I call her. She's she really is like very she just has a very caring personality, and she's very sweet.
and talk about the force of Jennifer Lopez. This is a woman who said, no, no, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do
the
what
force
I do.
Of Jennifer. Yeah. Well, I mean, she's been in the industry for such a long time, and she's such an icon. But I really try not to look at her that way. I mean, she's my co-star, and she knows what she's doing, and she's incredibly talented. And I really admired the way that she came to set so prepared and so on it, and she like really knew who her character was. I mean, she's just a badass, and she just gets it, and she's really wonderful to work with, and to watch her work is really, I mean, I felt honored to be there, and I got to sit on her lap in a scene, so that's pretty great.
So do you like use that at restaurants? Like, I need a table. I sat on Jennifer Lopez's lap.
Sure, I will use that next time I don't get in. Like, I don't know if you know who I am, but I sat on J-Lo's lap, so.
Let's talk a little bit about Riverdale.
Okay.
How many seasons do you see it going?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe 6 or 7. I really, because the kids are graduating from high school and are season 4, so I'm not sure. I think, you know, it's once they get out of high school, I don't know where.
Do you go to Riverdale Community College?
I hope not. I really hope not. I hope there's better things for Betty coming up.
What do you see for yourself in the future?
For myself?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I was really lucky to do this film. Sarah Schechter, who's one of the executive producers of Riverdale, is really close friends with Laureen Scafaria, our director. And so she was a huge force in allowing me to do this movie and you know, at the same time as Riverdale. And I think... I'm just so lucky that I was able to be a part of it. And I think future-wise, I'm trying to do as many films as I can on my hiatus from Riverdale, like no sleep, no rest for the wicked. But that's how I want it to be. You know, yeah. I think film is really where my passion lies, and I love filmmakers, and I think I just... I like what Jeff Bridges says, where it's like every role he takes is a 180 from the last role he played. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good way to look at your career, because you got to keep it interesting and play as many people as you can. So
that was Lily Reinhart. Now I'm going to take another short break, but when we come back, Kiki Palmer. And now here's Kiki Palmer.
Hi, Kiki.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
So good.
Such a good movie.
Yes, you loved it?
I loved it.
Good.
It's real, like, it's fun, there's drama, it's mm-hmm. sexy, there's glamour, but really what I felt the most was the drama, the emotionality, is that a word?
It had heart.
It really has heart. Mm-hmm. Did you know that, like, when you read the script, like, or... Like, even Lily said to me, she's like, you know, she read the log line and she was like, what is this stripper movie kind of thing?
I read the log line, I read the script, and I felt like it was going to be a good movie. I don't think I really knew how much the heart was going to be, how big of a part it was going to be in the movie. I think that's something that I trusted Laureen to visualize. Like, I really trusted her as a director and as a writer. That this movie was going to be amazing. I didn't know exactly how, but I felt confident. And I was excited about the fact that it was a true story, you know. Right. And so I just jumped in head first.
Did you know anything about this story before you got the script?
Nothing. I knew nothing about the story. knowing that world, it didn't sound like hard to believe.
Right.
I was more so excited, like, okay, who are the characters? Mm-hmm. Who's telling the story? How do I, you know, mean the other girls, the other talent that I was going to be working with? I was excited to get to know them and see how we were going to bring the characters to life and keep it grounded. You know, that was something that I was interested in, making sure we had that balance.
Right. And for me, it's a story about survival and chosen families.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
I mean, I totally think that's what it's about. You know, you have women that are from all different backgrounds, and everybody's story is not the same. A lot of times you'll think of a stripper, and it's like they all come from this broken home or whatever this idea is, but every girl had a different path that led them there. And it was that friendship and that camaraderie that helped them to survive. And also it humanized them. A lot of times we'll just hear about a story or, you know, about what someone did, and we don't really know what got them there. And I think that's what is so perfectly visualized in the movie.
What's great about the movie, Bob? Yeah, great. is that you start cheering these women on.
Exactly.
You're rooting for them, and you're like, wait a minute. they're drugging these dudes. Mm-hmm. They're jumping out of windows.
Yeah.
They're dropping them off at hospitals. And I'm like, yeah, go, go. You could do. And then you're like, oh, this is really messed up that I'm cheering for them.
Yeah, and I think, again, that's kudos to Loreen, because you do have these women that are doing this kind of, like, unbelievable stuff. But at the same time, you feel like, hey, I mean, are these their only options? You know, is this their only choice? And for what they do know and the knowledge that they do have, they're really, truly trying their best. But this is, they're using the skills that they have. They're trying to make lemonade out of lemons. Mm. And so you, over the course, knowing their characters, but seeing their flaws, but still, you know, loving them as people, you find yourself wanting them to just win, but not get in trouble.
Right.
You know, you just want them to get the money and get out of Dodge.
Like, just get the money legally.
Exactly, exactly. Just be drug dealers, don't get in.
So, tell me about meeting Jennifer for the first time.
Oh, honey, I was thrilled and nervous. Yeah. I grew up loving Jennifer, still love her to this day. Oh, my gosh. Can you, I'm still getting to it. So to, you know, do the film with her, my first scene that I ever shot was with her. We were in the Bronx, in the Gap. And it's that scene where, you know, Mercedes gets her job in fashion. Our old lady. We're in Old Navy. Yeah, we're in Old Navy. I got our job in fashion, love. And, you know, we're looking outside, and it's all these kids in the city.
So you really shot in the Bronx?
Shot in the Bronx, and they're all looking through in the window. And I thought to myself, man, here we have J-Lo in the city that she's from, you know, city where dreams are made of. And then I'm, you know, here, I'm from Illinois, a rural south suburb, suburban town. And here we are showing all the dreamers out there what's truly possible. That was the first day I had on the set. And working with her, it was everything I could have dreamed it to be. She's such a girl's girl, so, you know, very affectionate and engaged. And I was just like, oh, yeah, this movie is going to be everything.
I feel like she probably gave some really good rap gifts.
Oh,
what'd
she
you
gave
get?
Best. Oh, love. I got the, okay, so Jennifer always carries around this, like, bedazzled, what is it called? Thermal cup, you know, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, gets real cold.
Thermos.
Yeah, thermos, exactly, thermos, you know. So she has, like, one that's, it says World of Dance. It's like, you know.
And is it really bedazzled, or is it really,
oh, honey,
or is it really diamonds?
It's really bedazzled. I can't tell her secrets. And she gave us all one, and I still have mine, and it's so bomb. I love it. I just was so happy.
I think I actually did tear
up, too. And she gave me, like, a lingerie set. She's the bomb.
A lingerie set from Jennifer Lopez.
Okay.
So when do you wear that line?
I can't tell you that.
Are you relieved a little bit, or are you sad a little bit that you didn't get to do more stripping in the movie?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I would say, I can't, this is the thing. It would have been cool to do a pole moment. I had a couple little pole dancing classes. But at the same time, I was really most excited that we got to have that moment where we were all dancing on stage when Usher came through. I was living for that. That to me was just like, are we serious right now? Like, this movie is insane. You know what I mean?
Did they just put the music on and just say dance, or was it choreographed?
So, no, it wasn't choreographed at all. Everybody was just, no, it was just dance. You know, we wait, we watch Usher come in, the music is playing, and it's like Love in the Club, which already puts you back in a time,
right,
you know, in space. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm living my 15-year-old dreams somewhat on the stripper stage, getting sexy for Usher. It was dope.
What's it like dancing next to Jennifer? I'm gonna go back to this, but dancing next to Jennifer.
Everything, and we were like on each other. I was just like, yeah. Jennifer, yes.
You're like, who's taking photos
right
now?
I was like, you know, who cares about the photos? We did the movie. Like, it was just so awesome to create this synergy between all of us. You know what I mean? Like, it really felt fun going to work and being with all of them. And it inspired me and motivated me to make sure I brought everything I could to the scene. It's an experience of a lifetime that I will always remember.
And what's the one movie you could watch over and over again and you never get bored? You're just flipping through TV streamers and there it is.
The Wood.
Okay, go.
Yeah,
why?
It's called The Wood. It's a coming of age story. Mm-hmm. And Rick Famuyiwa, who I love his writing. I loved it because I love coming of age stories. I love love stories. And it's very rich in culture. And so I love that movie. That's a classic to me. Whenever it comes on, I'm like, boom, get into it.
When was the last time you cried at the movies?
This movie got me very emotional. A documentary. The documentary Blackfish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen it. It's mm-hmm. about the whale.
Oh, of course.
The whale at SeaWorld. Tillicum. Tilly. I never had seen this documentary before, and when I watched it, I just couldn't believe what, you know, he went through. Mm. And so that was like the most recent film that really impacted me. Aside from the other documentary that I watched called Three Identical Strangers, mm-hmm. that also devastated me. Oh, I love documentaries.
Me too.
But they get you real deep because at the end you remember, oh, this is real. Why did I watch this?
And then they make movies out of it.
So, yeah, those are the two things I just saw that really impacted me heavily.
What's a movie that you would have loved to have been in that you love?
A movie that I would have loved to be in? Bring it on, honey. Bring it on. Move out the way, Gabby. Okay, I'm ready. Well, it's Us. Bring It On is the most amazing, I think, film representation of cultural appropriation I've ever seen to date. Mm. It is so fabulous. I just, watching it as an adult, mm-hmm. It really blows my mind even more to just see, wow, what a great film, what a great message, what a great film about unity. Like, it really was a great film. I think when you're a kid, you watch stuff and you don't really always know why you liked it so much. And then when you get older, you're like, oh my gosh, they really hit it on the nail. You know, you really get it. So I really love that movie. Bring It On. I would have loved to have been in that.
And a TV show you're watching right now, like, what are you binging?
I watch a lot of reality.
Go ahead.
Real Housewives of Potomac. Hey, Cameron Huger. I love that show. You know, I feel like for me, a lot of times with my schedule with work, it's so overwhelming that I need to, like, zone out on a television show. And
but do you really zone out?
Oh, child, you got
it. Or you're in it.
I'm in it, but it's like a light in it. It's like an in it where I can, like, be chill, not to think too much. So it's like, I love Real Housewives of Potomac, and there's another one called Love After Lockup. Woo! I know the title is like, what? But Love After Lockup, honey. These people are trying to have love after jail. It's deep, honey.
Have you watched 90 Day Fiancé?
My sister just told me about that show.
Oh, no. My husband and I were just on vacation for a week. Literally, my husband's addicted to it. I was like, you will be obsessed.
Oh, my God.
And then you have to watch.
Did you watch Jailbirds?
Oh, I didn't watch Jailbirds.
On Netflix, the real life Orange is the New Black?
Oh, I have to watch that.
You gotta get into that. Those girls, they come back with a second season. They talking through the toilets. I said, wow, jail cells.
Oh, yes, 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 with the toilets.
Talking through the toilets. Yes. I said, now they got some genius stuff going
on. But then giving messages to the toilet. Okay, ooh. Bye.
You're the best. Thank you.
That was Kiki Palmer. Thanks for listening to this week's Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Coming up next week, IT Chapter 2 stars James McAvoy, Bill Hader, and Bill Skarsgård. And don't forget, if you want to watch my Big Ticket interviews, you can catch many of them at Variety.com. Also, make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Malkin. That's it for now. See you next week.